How many are enjoying this series? Amen. Have you learned something that you didn't already know? Yes. Have you been able to dive in to just a little bit deeper into God's Word and maybe find something that applies to each of us? I know that just in the study portions of my sections I have, let alone what's been taught by the other men, and this has been a good experience for us. So tonight we're going to talk for just a few minutes about the habit of fellowship. The habit of fellowship. And this is a exciting chapter for me because I love to fellowship. Mostly I like to break bread and eat, but I'd like to fellowship. Amen. I love when people come to the house and we have barbecues. I love some of the meetings and prayer meetings that have been born out of those events and times of people being in my home. And I'm glad when people feel comfortable enough to kick their shoes off in my house and sit on the couch and fall asleep. That tells me that my house is full of peace, and I like that. Amen. It's a comfort to me that I can have people in my home. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, verse number 25. The Bible says there, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I like this scripture, but most of the time, unfortunately, we misquote it. Well, by misquoting it, I mean we only quote half of it. "Not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves as the manner of some is." And that's usually where they stop. But as we continue to read this verse, we run across the really glaring truth. It's in there, but you almost just pass over it without thinking about it. But how many believe that God's going to come back someday? I mean, how many of you believe it's going to be super soon? And the more you read the news, the more you if you watch CNN, I'll pray for you. But if you watch it, amen, you see that the Lord is coming. Amen, He is coming. But so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. We have church two times a week. Once a month we have prayer, and outside of that, what do we do together? In summertime, we have some boys that play softball, and that's good. We have outreach events, and those are good. But how much do we really have fellowship for the sake of having fellowship? How much do we really get together with the sake of lifting up one another? Amen. I say, as you see the day approaching, so much the more. Amen. Let's start to look into the habit of fellowship and how we can grow as Christians. Amen. Amen. Number one in this section is I belong in God's family with other believers. I belong in God's family. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, this version that's listed here says, "You are a member of God's very own family." And I think that's amazing. What a great way to word it. "You are a member of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian." You belong in God's household. Amen. What an amazing piece of scripture that is. Romans 12 and 5 says, "So in Christ we are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Amen. You do not belong to yourself. You owe it to yourself to be faithful to the house of God, to be faithful to work days, to be faithful to outreach, to be faithful to outreach events, to be faithful, amen, when somebody says, "Come over for dinner on Sunday." Those times, they may not seem very important, and sometimes almost as a chore of something that you have to endure, but those are important, amen, to have those moments, amen? The quote, I want to read you a quote from Dr. Ray Ortlund. It says, "The Christian who is not committed to a group of other believers for praying, sharing, and serving so that he is known as he knows others is not an obedient Christian. He is not in the will of God. However vocal he may be in his theology, he is not obeying the Lord." And that's one of those times that somebody breaks it down and puts it into perspective for us, that we have to depend on one another. Amen. It's just like this, we talk about in Romans 12:5, it's being one body. When the toe hurts, amen, your back hurts, not because your back hurts, but because you're compensating for that and you're straining other portions of your body. Anybody ever had a hitch in your neck, you know, where you wake up and you can't, and then all of a sudden it hurts down your arm and your jaw, and it may just be a pulled muscle in the side of your neck, but everything else is affected. You take it for granted that it functions until it doesn't function anymore. And so it is with our Christianity and the people sitting on the pews across the aisles from you tonight. When they hurt, we hurt. And even if we don't recognize that's the source of where we hurt, that's actually where we're hurting from. Amen. Number two says, I need encouragement to grow spiritually. I need encouragement. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think one of one another and how we can encourage each other to love and do good deeds. Let us think of one another and how we can encourage each other. I'd like hearing Pastor Cox tell stories, and many of the times we've heard stories repeatedly, and that's not a bad thing. I like hearing him tell the stories about the woman who was gifted with the calling of writing cards. What an amazing, I think, man, how gosh darn proud would I feel to get a card in the mail? I'm thinking of you. Those are amazing. I like Facebook on my birthday. That's the most likes I get all year long. I get 80 or 90 likes. Hey, happy birthday, buddy. You know, or whatever it is. And those things make us feel good because we have taken the time to encourage each other. Amen. And those are important days. Amen. Hebrews 3:13 says, every day keep encouraging one another so that none of you is hardened by the glamour of sin. Amen. The King James Version says, through the deceitfulness of sin. I think this here is pretty amazing to say the glamour of sin and the attractiveness of sin. Amen. It's easy to look into sinful ways when we're separated from amongst each other. Amen. Bullet point number three says, I need accountability to grow spiritually. I need accountability. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9, 10, and 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Have you ever heard the term synergy? Anybody know the word synergy? Do you know what that actually means? I mean, and not the power company either. If you're from down around Fort Wayne, Synergy is a power company. But synergy is actually talking to the sum of the parts are greater than its each individual portion. So that's what it's talking about here. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. If you have one string whose break point is 5 pounds and you mix it with two other points, how many pounds is left? It should be 15 pounds of holding strength. It's actually something like 22 pounds. How does that work? Because their threefold cord is not easily broken. It's you're getting the strength of each other bound together, and you're stronger together than you would ever be individually. Amen. And that's where we are spiritually with one another. We're stronger together than we'll ever be separately. Amen. Number four, there is great power. There is great power when people pray together. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 19. And again, I say unto you that if two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If two or three shall agree, or that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done. Amen. And that's a powerful scripture as well when you're talking about praying together. Amen. It's good to pray in your home. It's good to have those times. Amen. But how much more impactful is it when we come in for corporate prayer? Amen. You may pray and you trudge through it and you make that prayer time happen because you should. But there's something powerful about when we come together and we pray. Amen. When we get together and we begin to beseech God. Amen. Fellowship. Number five is a witness to the world. It is a witness to the world. John 17, verse 21 says, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That they may believe that thou hast sent me. Man, what a powerful thing. When they see us together, that is a witness. When they see us working together, that is a powerful, powerful witness. Man, they may see us out raking the yard together as men on work days. They may come in here as a visitor and see us working in a bathroom or putting up a cabinet around a drinking fountain. All the things that we do to make this building work. Those are powerful witnesses to those that are on the outside. That's why I like when we get the chance to bring new people to stuff like that. We got to take my buddy Matt last year on a fishing trip. It just came up in my memories. And man, we had a good time, except for Iggy. Iggy did not have a good time. Amen. The rest of us had a good time. Amen. Riding the waves, seeing the shore, and then not seeing the shore, and seeing the shore, and not seeing the shore. Some of us handle our breakfast better than others. Praise the Lord. Amen. It was a rough day for Brother Ignacio. But he did catch walleye, and I did not, so... Fellowship is a witness. I hope Matt saw something in all of us, amen, that drew him to say, this is what I need in my life. Amen. I hope that opportunities like that matter. Amen. They matter to those guys. And I hope that something that they've seen, we got to take my dad, who has never been involved in church as long as he has been alive. Never one time, amen, has he ever been baptized or been at an altar to repent of his sins. But I'm hoping that my dad can see something in us, amen, through a fishing trip, that we are witnessing to the world being together, amen. Bullet point number 6, I am obligated to every other Christian. Whoa, hold on a second, obligated. Yeah, we have a responsibility for one another, amen. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace. I'm going to read this other interpretation. I want you to pay close attention to the difference here. It says, God has given you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. Be sure to use them to help each other. Amen. Again, I'm going to pick on Iggy for just a minute. I could never plan the events that he plans. I can't do it. I'm not wired that way. We'd have a trunk or treat. We'd have no hot dogs. We probably wouldn't have chili. There wouldn't be the inflatable toys set up right. This guy makes it happen. I could never do what he does. So there are times that you're obligated to put your gift into work. The same way as I don't think he's much of a drummer. I could be wrong. He's probably been sandbagging us all along. Amen. But maybe he is. But I would guess that he's probably not. I would guess that Terry Matheny, being an excellent teacher, amen, probably could out-teach me any day of the week. And I'm good with that. Amen. But maybe I pray better than he does. And I don't know that. I'm not picking on him. I'm just using this as an example. Amen. We're obligated to put together our gifts. Amen. For the perfecting, amen, of our witness to the world. We are obligated. I don't have the right, Brother Rohr, for me to not preach ever again. I don't have the right to do that. You deserve me to preach, and I deserve you, amen, to help me. Amen. We need each other. We each have a separate function. Amen. The eye does not do what the ear does, and the ear does not do, amen, what the kneecap does, and the kneecap does not do, amen, what the gallbladder does, and the gallbladder doesn't do what the appendix does. Matter of fact, nobody knows what the appendix does. Amen. And I know you all know a couple of saints just like that. We don't know what they do, but praise God they're here. Amen. Just kidding about that, by the way. Don't start pointing fingers. You'll get me in trouble. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Members in particular. It's okay to be unique. It's okay for you not to do what I do and for me not to do what you do. The important thing is that we're here to support each other's functions. And there are several portions of Scripture that are we refer to as one another scriptures. Galatians 5:13 says, serve one another. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another. Colossians 3:13 says, forgive one another. Romans 16:16 says, greet one another. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another. Romans 12:10 also says, honor one another. Romans 15:14 says, teach one another. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another. There are over 30 one another commandments in the New Testament that you cannot obey unless you are involved in the lives of other Christians in your church. Here at CLC, we believe that our church must grow larger through worship and smaller through fellowship. Larger through worship, but smaller through fellowship at the same time. We need each other. Amen. On that note, I'm going to pass it off to Brother Ignacio. I believe he's next. Amen. Does anybody have any questions real quickly? No questions? All right, we'll move on then.
Anybody remember when they were dating, those that are married, when they were dating? Anybody remember? Do they do stuff now that they did then? Or is there anything you wish they did that they did then to try to catch your eye, to get your attention, that they don't do anymore? Just a little conversation to have with your spouse. Say, honey, remember when? Remember when? Well, I have the privilege of talking about habits of holiness. Habits of holiness is the portion that I get to talk about. Now, real Christianity is about a change of life, or life changes, not just religion. I don't know about you, but I used to be Catholic. Now I'm just more Catholic. If you know what Catholic means, it means universal religion, universal church. So just more. But it's not a religion, it's a change of life. It's every aspect of your life. The central habit of discipleship, disciples' cross, as it was noted in page 5, is the habit of holiness, which when present in a believer's life indicates the real change has indeed taken place. In addition to glorifying God, holiness has the effect of testifying to others around us. Holiness is that relationship with Jesus. You know how you wanted to get to know your spouse when you were dating, and you said hi, and she said hi back, and you kind of giggled, and you kind of ignored them or asked them to write cards for you, to ask money for you to pay your school bill. That's what I did. I was in the cafeteria at Indiana Bible College, and I was half asleep, and I got this idea that if I could ask the people in my church that believed in me to help me make it through school financially so I could practice, so I could focus on my ministry. It didn't work out very well because I did make it through Bible college, most of it. But I asked Jennifer. She's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm asking people for money." The true makings of a preacher is I'm asking people for money. And she wrote better than I did, and she filled out those cards, and I did get my youth pastor sponsored me for 3 months to be an IBC student, and God blessed it, and God used it, and I got to know Jenny, and through the process of time, here we are 19 years later. And it worked. But our relationship with God is just that, a changing of habits of what we do. The thing is that holiness is sometimes viewed negatively as a means by which the rules and regulations that you have to follow. And at a young age, I realized that holiness was not that. It's not about rules. It's not about regulations or what I can't do, but it's what I get to do. I wrote cards to my wife so I could get her to go out with me. I said nice things, and I held conversation with her, and I asked her out, and she said yes. And the thing is that there's things that you did when you were trying to get to know them, your spouse, that you wanted to get their attention. Well, that's how I view holiness, is the things that I do to get God's attention. Now, there's things that everybody's required to do. You know, there's commandments, and Justin mentioned several of them. But there's things that we can do to get favor with God, to get His attention, to stand up and say, "Ooh, me, pick me." And that's what holiness is to me. That's how I see holiness. It's what I get to do, that I can reach God so I can please God. Now, reading here, since Terry has his phone checking how long I'm taking, it is possible to keep the rules on the habits of Bible study, prayer, tithing, and fellowship through sheer human effort. However, the habit of holiness, especially inner aspects of holiness, can only be maintained through the enabling of God's Spirit. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and said, "Hey, how can I live this where it says in Corinthians on how to do this, or in Hebrews, and I want to take them back to Acts and say, hey, first you need to get baptized. First you need the Holy Ghost to do what it says in Corinthians. So you have the skill and the ability to do those things, which is empowering by the Spirit of God. The Bible teaches that holiness must first affect our inward attitude, but also our outward actions and appearance. The Holy Ghost working inside of you is going to affect the outside. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you dress, what you find entertaining, the Holy Ghost that's working inside will show up on the outside. In Psalms 99 and 9, the Bible teaches that holiness is one of the basic characteristics of God's nature. In Psalms, it says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." He is holy. He is holy. Hebrews 12 and 4 says, "Try to live in peace with all people." Try. "To live in peace with all people and try to live free from sin. Anyone whose life is not holy will never see the Lord." Personal holiness is an absolutely essential in maintaining our salvation. It's a necessity. It's something that we do. It's something that we have to do. Now, it says in 1 Peter 1:15-16, it says, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you to be His children, is holy. For He Himself has said, 'You must be holy because I am holy.'" That's what makes us holy. It's not our actions. It's not what we do. It's the Holy Ghost within us that makes us holy. And our goal is to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. The same Spirit that was in Jesus is the same Spirit that you receive when you receive the Holy Ghost. The whole point of living for God is that you see Jesus in us, in you and me. Number three is holiness involves both the concepts of separation and the concept of dedication. Separation and dedication. Like in a relationship, when you stop talking to other people, when you met your spouse or the person that you wanted to marry, you stop flirting with other girls or other guys, and you stop talking to them, and you became exclusive in your relationship. And the same thing with God is you become exclusive with God. He starts taking your attention, and you talk to Him, and you have that relationship, and you build that relationship. You know, I used to talk to my wife all the time on the phone when she lived far away. Now she hates talking on the phone. She doesn't like talking on the phone. So we don't talk on the phone as often, or as long, I should say. We do talk on the phone. But the relationship now is exclusive. Now God wants you to pray to Him, to talk to Him, to have a separation from the world and a dedication to Him. That's what God requires. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, and it's a long read, through chapter 7 and 1, it says, "And the Lord also said, leave them and stay away. Don't touch anything that isn't clean. Then I will welcome you and be your father. You will be my sons and my daughters. And as surely as I am God, the all-powerful, my friends, God has made us these promises, so we should stay away from everything that keeps our bodies and spirits from being clean. We should honor God and try to be completely like Him." It's something that we work at. It's not something that automatically happens. We work at this. A good marriage is something you work at. A good relationship is something you work at. You know, nobody... When I was receiving counseling, when I decided to get married, nobody told me it was going to be this hard. Nobody told me that it was going to take blood, sweat, and tears. But I don't regret it for a second. Don't regret it for a second. Why? Because God has done so much for me. God has done so much that it says, what else can... This is your reasonable... In King James it says, this is your reasonable service. This is what you could at least do unto God for what He has done. You know, what would you do if somebody died for you? What would you do? What's the limits to what He could ask of you if He died for you? There is no limits. Why? Because you love God. Now in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1... And that's what it says in the King James. And it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, it is this too much to ask? Is this too much to ask? To give ourselves as a living sacrifice. He died for us that we could live an overcoming life." Now, number 4, it says, "The power to live holy lives does not come from our flesh, but from our Holy Ghost." Our Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14 says, "Hold on to the pattern of right teaching that you have learned from me, and remember to live in a faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Carefully guard what has been entrusted to you." This precious faith that we receive, the Word of God, this is something that we do. We talk about the Word of God. There's countries where this is outlawed. There's places where they can't come together in the name of Jesus. They can't come together and worship. This is a freedom that we have in this country to do so. And we are privileged and we are blessed. And we need to hold true to that. We need to hold on tight to it. Because it's something that we have that other people don't on the other side of the world. We are blessed to live in this country, but to be able to come together in fellowship, in sharing of the Word of God, and sharing of faith. Number five, we are motivated to live holy lives, not merely by enforced rules, but by our love for God. It's a love thing. It's not a have-to thing. It's not a rules and regulation thing. It's something that I love to do. I love to do. You have to fall in love with God. And because of the love that you have for God, you do things to please God. My wife asked for water. And that just doesn't mean a cup of water. That means a cup of water with ice. And if you bring it without ice, why doesn't it have ice? Are we out of ice? Can you go to the store and get ice? Sure, honey, I'll go to the store 17 blocks away, since the Owens has closed, and get ice. And it's not a huge burden because I love my wife. Your wife asks you to take out the trash. You know, no problem, honey. I will grab the 100 pounds of trash, traverse across the sidewalk and many of trees and branches and grass blades that could cut me to take the trash out. But the thing is, you do it because you love them and you care about them. The same should be in our relationship with God. It's because we fall in love with God that we are able to do these things. It's habits of holiness. Habits of holiness. First John chapter 2 and verse 3 and through 5, it says, "And how can we be sure that we belong to Him?" Anybody ever wonder why you think you belong to God? Does God hear my voice? God hear my prayers? This is how you can know. He says, by obeying His commandments. If you obey His commandments, you belong to Him. If you follow His word, you belong to Him. He is your God because you are His child. You are His son. You are His daughter. For someone says, I belong to God, but doesn't obey God's commandment, that person is a liar and does not live in the truth. But those who obey God's word really do love Him. That is the way to know whether or not we live in Him. That's the qualifying thing, is following His commandments. If you follow His word, He is your God. He hears your prayers. He hears your prayers. Now, quickly moving on to number 6. God gives us 3 holiness teachers to show us how to live a life that pleases Him. Number 1, He gives us the Bible. The Bible is the authority. The Word of God is that authority. In Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, it says, Christ loved the church and gave His life for it. He made the church holy by the power of His word, so that He would have glorious and holy church without fault or spot or wrinkles or any other flaws. Any other flaws. It is by His word and by His blood. The second teacher is spiritual leadership. Anybody thankful for spiritual leadership? I'm thankful for a pastor that prays for me, that counsels me, that corrects me and chastises me and disciplines me and encourages me and blesses me and gives me wise counsel. Spiritual leadership. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11 through 14, it says, "And Christ gave gifts to people. He made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to go and tell the good news and some to have the good work of caring for the teaching of God's people. Christ gave those gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger. We must become like a mature person, growing until we become like Christ and have his perfection. Then we will no longer be babies. We need a pastor that leads us. And it takes us submitting ourselves to our pastor. It takes a relinquishing of our will and say, Pastor, pastor me. Show me what God has shown you. Lead me. Now the third and final thing is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter 10 and 16. And this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts so they will understand them. And I will write them on their minds so they will obey them. The word of God is in our hearts and in our minds, in the seat of our understanding. And the Holy Ghost leads us and guides us. The Holy Ghost, those three things are holiness teachers in our lives, every one of us. The Bible, leadership, spiritual leadership, and the Holy Ghost. Our three holiness teachers work together and complement each other. But the Bible is our final authority. The Word of God is the final authority on all matters. On all matters. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 10, it says, actually number 7, is our righteousness works are not the means of us receiving salvation, but they should be the results of us receiving it. The means and the results. The means and the results. Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10. And says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Because we have a relationship with God and he works in us, we do things to please God. We do things to please God. Now, number 8, it says, Bible teaches that the genuine Christian will exhibit a notable external witness when internal holiness is present in their hearts. The Holy Ghost will not only affect the inside, but it will affect the outside. It will affect you externally. The way you talk, the way you walk, like I said earlier, it will take effect. It will take effect. James chapter 2 and 14 through 24, it says, dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? What kind of that kind of faith can't save anyone. It isn't enough to just have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It is deeds, and unless I can't see your faith if you don't have good deeds. But I will show you my faith through my good deeds. So you see, we are made right with God by what we do, not by our faith alone. It takes our faith in God that causes us to act upon that faith. We pray and then we do. We don't just pray and just leave it there. Yes, sometimes we have to pray for something that's out of our hands. That's out of our hands. But we have to pray and then have God something to work with. We have to move on. We have to do something. We have to stay busy. You want to get something done, you give it to the person that's busy because they'll get it done. And when they're done, they'll keep going. If I want something done, I find Buddy and say, hey, Buddy, this needs done. And he's like, I don't have time for that. Well, it's on the list. And it'll get done. It's on the list. There's confidence in the list. It will get done. If not today, maybe tomorrow. But it will get done. It will get done. Number 9, there are 3 types of holiness standards that God expects every mature Christian to adhere. The key word is mature. Bible standards, there are life principles that are explicitly commanded in the Word of God. These demand immediate obedience once upon receiving salvation. These principles are non-negotiable for all Christians. There's things in the Word of God that He asks us, or He tells us to do. Tells us to do. There's, you know, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Because if there's not salvation in the name of Jesus, then what name is there salvation in? He wouldn't have died on a cross if there was another way. He wouldn't have done everything that He did in the way that He did it if there was a different way. If there was another option, do you think that we would have not taken that other option? You know, God robed Himself in flesh because that's what the law demanded. The law demanded it. Now there's church standards. Church standards. These are life principles that are established by spiritual leadership to deal with practical applications of scriptural principles in modern situations. They are usually understood and implemented gradually as the believer matures. The specific implementation of these principles may vary slightly from church to church, but those are all established by the pastor. By the pastor. And if you have a question, talk to the pastor. Talk to the pastor. Personal standards. Now, these are life principles that are prompted by the Holy Spirit in individual lives due to the unique background of each believer. They may have no relevance in any other believer, but they are personal convictions. They are personal convictions. And if you have any questions about that, talk to the pastor. The definition of standard is a simple test for determining the authenticity of something intangible. Holiness standards are not the principal parts of holiness, but they are the external signs that authentic work of salvation has taken place. Has taken place. Now, number 1 on page 27. There are many levels of maturity in God's family, just like the natural family, and each member is valuable to God in their present state. Anybody ever ran a race and everybody runs differently? Everybody's at different levels in their health and their physical ability. If we all got on a track and we ran, we'd all be at different places. Same thing as our relationship with God. We're all at different places. Buck, you might be ahead of me. Josiah, you might be behind me. And the thing is that we're all in different places in our walk with God. We're all different places. So we can't judge ourselves among ourselves. It's not fair to you, and it's not fair to me. We're all in different places, different stages of life. So in applying holiness, we need to be accepting of one another where we are at in our relationship with God. And as Justin said, help each other out to make it. Romans chapter 15, 1 through 5, or I'm sorry, 1 and 2. For our faith is strong, we should be patient with the Lord's followers whose faith is weak. We should try to please them instead of ourselves. We should think of their good and try to help them. Now Matthew 18 and 16 says, Jesus said, it will be tolerable for people who cause even one of my little followers to sin. Those who would be better off throwing themselves into the deep part of the ocean with a heavy stone tied around their neck. If you cause somebody, a new convert, to fail, to falter, to do whatever, God's kind of serious about it. He's kind of serious about it. Enough so that you're better off putting a really big paperweight around your neck. Now, number two, it says, the more mature I become in my lifestyle of holiness, the more God can use me. The more God can use you. The more stuff that you go through in life, the more problems and situations that you have that come your way. It says God won't put more upon you than you can bear. But at the same time, it gives you the experience to help somebody that's struggling with the same problem, with the same issue. And I'm trying to go fast, honey. I really am. I'm trying. 2 Timothy 2:19 through 21. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are His, and those who claim they belong to the Lord must turn away from all wickedness. Some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil God can use for His purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Every good work. God can use you. Doesn't matter who you are, God can use you in the state that you're in. And you're going through those things for a reason and a purpose. Number three says, even if I do not feel personally convicted about a holiness standard, I still need to submit to my spiritual leader God has placed in my life. If He asks you to do something, there's a reason and a purpose. And you trust God, that the man of God in your life. This is why. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your soul. And they know they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this joyfully and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your own benefit. The watchman on the wall, your pastor, sees things afar off that you might not see. He has a different advantage point than you do. And today, in the portion that I have been given, is I am thankful for a pastor that loves and cares for us. The watchman on the wall that is always watching. Thank you, Pastor Cox, for being that man. And at this time, Brother Terry's going to come and do his portion.
Praise the Lord, church. Well, how many are thankful for these other men of God, Brother Iggy, Brother Justin, for teaching the Word? If you're thankful for them, why don't you give a hand clap unto the Lord for men of God in this church. Amen. I'm thankful for my brothers. One of the things that Brother Justin brought up that I thought was great and that I really enjoyed was home fellowship Bible studies. Amen. And this second quarter of the year, beginning Monday, we're reaching out to one another. That was part of our goal this year. And so I would challenge anybody in here to, and I know the merchants do, but have a home fellowship, have a home Bible study, get it started once a month for the next 3 months. See how it goes. Invite church people, have church people invite other people over. And I think you'll find out, and this goes back to, I think, what Brother Iggy said, is maybe it was Brother Justin, is that we desire to grow bigger as a church, but smaller as a church family. And that's to get closer and tighter knit. And I really appreciate that. That thought. I also want to go back and just highlight some notes that I've taken from the teaching. Holiness, it's what I get to do. And I had several years ago when I first got into church, and a person was talking to me about rules and regulations within the church. He said, "Oh, you Pentecostals, your women have to wear dresses, can't cut their hair. You men have to wear long sleeves, this, that, and the other. You never wear a pair of shorts." And my response was them, "You know what? I get to do whatever I want to do. Amen. I just quit doing the things that harm me and hurt God. God loved me enough to die for me. He gave himself because he was love. And so I get to do whatever I want to do, but I just quit doing those things that harm me and hurt God's feelings." So, and with that, I'm going to get into my part of the teaching. We're supposed to keep this close to an hour, and I got 6 minutes left. Thank you, gentlemen. But would you be patient with me? Would you be patient with me and help me out here, help me to teach tonight? So I'm going to continue where Brother Iggy left off, and I'm going to talk to you about how to start and how to maintain good habits. Now, there's a scientific study that's been done several times and said that it takes 21 to 28 days of repetition. That means doing it day after day, time after time, to create a habit, right? And so one of the things we'll talk about a little bit later is that if you're going to maintain good habits, right, you have to be consistent in doing them. So step one is that there has to be a desire. There has to be a desire. You must start with a strong desire and be internally motivated. External motivations don't last. If you start only half-heartedly, you will never make it to success. And what I'm going to tell you is that nobody can motivate you. I cannot motivate you. Your wife, your husband, your spouse, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad. Nobody can motivate you. They can inspire you. And we've been inspired. All of us have been inspired at one time. But until that inspiration from somebody else becomes a desire within you, right? And it becomes a motivating factor in you, you will never follow through and perform or create those habits. So there must be a desire internally of you that you want this, that you desire this, that you are going to do this. So step two, if there is a desire within you to do something, step two is make a decision. Begin right now. Don't wait. Don't be a procrastinator. Don't slide into a new bad habit. Oh, one of these days, or how about this one? Sometime soon I'm going to, or when I have time, I'm going to. In a couple of weeks, when I get things straightened out, I'm going to start. One of these days never comes. It never arrives. Have you ever noticed that? One of these days never arrives. You must have a starting point. It's easier to break a bad habit today than it will be tomorrow. So my suggestion is that if once you make a decision to do something, take time to organize your priorities. Write them down. What are your priorities in life? And if you don't know what your priorities are, let me help you out. There are three things that will show you what your priorities are in life. Okay? Your priorities are anything that you spend your time on, your money on, or your thoughts on. It's real simple. If you're doing it, you're spending time with it, that's a priority. If you're spending money on it, it's a priority, right? I happen to like guns, and I bought a few of them lately. So guess what? Either buying guns, buying ammunition, spending time shooting them is in some way has become a priority in my life. Anything that I take time to think on, right? Where I spend my mind share at. Where is my mind at? What is my mind thinking on? Those become my values. Those become what I value. Those become my priorities in life. That's what becomes what I value. Now, some of you, and I'm going to say me, I might have to change my priorities and my values. I might have to write down what I'm spending my time, my money, and my thoughts on and say, hey, do I really need this? Cross it out. Because you know why? It's consuming 2 hours of my week. Maybe I need to reorganize or limit my time on Facebook because I spend 15 minutes when I wake up. I spend 15 minutes while I'm doing my morning coffee. I spend 15 minutes when I get to work, and then I spend 15 minutes at first break, 15 minutes at lunch, 15 minutes at second break, 15 minutes before I pull out of the company parking lot, huh? Well, I'm just saying, when I add it all up, all that little time, I've spent my time. Now those have become priorities. And so I heard this saying one time, get your face out of Facebook and into the good book. Amen. How much farther on your daily reading or your through the year in a Bible would you have gotten if you've taken 2 hours, 15 minutes a day to read the Word of God? The thing that's going to help you get through this life, that's going to help you transition into the next life. So, if you wait for perfect conditions, this is what it says in Ecclesiastes 11:4. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. King James says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap, right? It's you know, well, it looks like it's going to rain. I don't think I'm going to go out and do this. Or it's too windy to throw some seed around and plant, so I don't think I'm going to go. But look at the spiritual context of that. He that observes the wind will not sow. What are you and I supposed to be doing? Sowing the Word of God into the lives of those around us. And if you look at the situation, the boisterous winds, the noisy voices around you, the people that don't want God, hey, throw that seed anyway. Right? Throw that seed to Charlie. Keep throwing it. Keep throwing it. Amen. Step 3, determination. Determination. Never allow an exception until the new habit is securely rooted in your life. Each lapse will be fatal. You know what a fatality is, right? It's death. Each lapse of doing this new habit will cause you death. Continuity and success at the start is essential. Never be swayed by just this once. The act of yielding weakness, the will, and reinforces your lack of self-control. It takes, here's that number again. It takes 3 weeks, it takes 21 days to become comfortable with a new habit, doing it daily. And another 3 weeks, that's 42 days, for it to become part of your life. Amen. Now, you've heard me talk about this with Brother Tony Bailey at men's conference. That guy rocked my world on prayer, early morning prayer. I had to make a determination in my mind. I had to have the desire, I had to make the decision, and I had to be determined that if I'm going to be successful in my prayer life, right, at the beginning of my day, I'm going to have to wake up early, I'm going to have to cut out certain things, I'm going to have to rearrange my schedule, I'm going to have to do what it takes. Because guess what? The first time I miss it, the first time I miss church on a Sunday, the first time I miss church on a Wednesday, the first time I miss first Saturday prayer, it becomes easier and easier and easier to miss it. Determined. Determined. Galatians 6 and 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's the whole biblical principle of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Amen. It is a principle that God has placed in His Word, and if you try it, put it to the test, it works. Anybody that can attest to that? Amen. Come on. Step 4. Double up. Double up. Get a partner who will support you. I'm talking about an accountability partner. Who will support you, who will encourage you. Find someone who is willing to hold you accountable and check up on you, especially in those early days before the habit is firmly rooted in your life. Someone, Here's something that I wrote down. Someone that will challenge you. Someone that will push you to the next level. Amen. I've talked about this before. Mentorship, right? Always looking for that person that's at that spiritual level that you want to be at, that next plateau. That's where I want to be in my walk with God. And find out how you can join yourself to that individual. Get mentored by that individual. Get coached by that individual. But the whole time there's somebody looking at you and go, man, I wish I could have the walk that he's got or she's got. So not only looking ahead, but looking behind to see, hey, let me pull you along. As I move along, let's go together, right? Because I need you and you need me and we're going to get there together. Amen. Here's something I want to tell you about an accountability partner. And this is my thought, okay? I think it's great. I think you should. I think it's absolutely necessary to pray with your spouse. Absolutely necessary. And if you're not, I would challenge you today to get in a prayer walk with your spouse and break those barriers because it builds trust between you and your spouse. And if you're ashamed to pray with your spouse, this is experience talking here. There is a trust issue. But what I'm going to tell you, accountability partner, I think you should pair up with somebody. If you're a man, you should pair up with another man. If you're a woman, you should pair up with another woman. Why? Because women understand women in a unique way that men don't understand women. In the same sense that their men understand other men in a unique way that women don't understand men. Amen? Now, that's Brother Matheny talking. That's not... And I'm sorry if that offends you, but I will tell you that my wife can only get me so far. My spouse can only get me so far. She could only understand certain things about my life, even though I might have been 100% disclosed with her, no secrets, trust was there. There are certain things in my life that only another man can understand. Amen. And I'm sure, ladies, it's the same with you. No matter how you try to tell your husband, no matter what you try to tell him, there's just things that he does not understand about the way you click. He may get it and know that that's the way it is, but there are certain things about each one of our genders and each one of our beings that only somebody from the same biological sex can understand. Amen. And so with that... Hebrews 10:24. We read this already once, but I want you to hear it again. Let us consider and give attention. Be attentive. Continuously care to watch over each other, studying how we may stir up and stimulate each other to helpful deeds and noble activities. I like that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the King James. The King James says, and let us consider, let us think, be thoughtful of one another, to provoke. Again, there's that work. I know I talked about this once before, to stimulate one another unto love and good works. Amen. All right. Page 29. Step number 5. This is a good one. I'm telling you, this is a good one. Step 5, depend on God. Hey, the world's going to run out on you. The world has ran out on me. When you turn around, I mean, sometimes it's hard to find your spouse standing next to you. Amen? And the only person you can depend on is God and God alone. Amen? Rely on God's power to help you establish the habit. Remember, Satan does not want you to develop habits that will help you grow spiritually and make you like Christ. So he will do all that he can do to tempt you, to cause you to slip, to discourage you. Pray for God's help. Hey, guess what? You're going to miss that early morning prayer. You're going to miss that habit. You're going to miss whatever it is that you've desired, you've dedicated yourself to, you've motivated yourself to do. You're going to miss it, right? But don't let the enemy get in your noodle. Don't let him get in your head and tell you, oh, you're nothing. I can't believe you missed that. Oh, hey, you know what? Tomorrow, don't even worry about it. Get your sleep, do this, do that, whatever. He is going to try to do everything to cause you to stumble. Trust me, I've been there before. How many of you have been there? So don't let him get in your head. Philippians 2 and 13 says, "For it is God who is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve his purpose." And I'm going to read that in the King James. "For it is God which worketh in both you," "worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God will, if you depend on God, God will give you the ability, the strength, the fortitude to move forward. Amen. If it's in your heart and it's aligned with the will of God, guess what? He said he wouldn't withhold anything from you. So depend on him. If you desire a richer, deeper, fuller prayer life in the morning, guess what? Make it your desire. Make it your determination. Dedicate yourself to it. Right? And then depend upon God that he will make it happen, will help you that it comes to fruition. And so, where do I go from here? We're moving forward. How many of you are enjoying the discipleship journey? I know I am. I am enjoying it. I really am. So congratulations. You have now completed the first two Community Life Center's discipleship course. The first one we completed was Connect. Now we've completed Discover. We're going to keep on one. I think we've got another two more. We got two more platforms to go through. And so what it says here and what I would ask of yourself and myself, prayerfully review the notes and scriptures from this class. Let God speak to your heart and lead you in developing a consistent lifestyle of Christian maturity. After all, that's what we desire. Peter said it, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we desire as a church. It's what we should be desiring as a body. It's what we should be desiring as individuals. So be faithful participant. Be a faithful participant in midweek Bible study here at Community Life Center, because that's where mature believers get fed. Amen. All right. Questions over anything tonight? Questions? Nobody's got any questions? Okay, so if you are desiring to have home fellowship, the church has material to help kick that off. All right? So if you desire to have people in your house and have a home fellowship and a home Bible study, the church does have materials to help you. Okay? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to do it. Lord bless you tonight. Thank you for your attentiveness through all three of us. I appreciate that. Again, we've done the first two. Go back, review. Look at those scriptures again. Get a journal. Start writing down. What does this mean to me? How can I apply it to my life? Amen.